I wander so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wander along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Scripture with you. Just a few truths tonight from this section of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the section, chapter 8 and 9, that we often turn to when we begin to talk about grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. When there's other places in the Bible, certainly, I believe faith, promise, missions is all through the Scripture. I just believe that it is. I believe that faith promise is God's program. I don't believe it's the church's program. I don't think the church came up with missions. I don't believe America came up with sending missionaries. And sometimes we get mixed up and we get confused, especially with a lot of the younger generation. And so young folks don't think that America started missions and that faith promise was something that a particular denomination came up with. Missions is God's program. It's God's program. In any church of any denomination that wants to do missions God's way will be involved in some way in faith promise missions, in grace giving, in world evangelism. If we're going to do God's work, God's way, we're going to have to be involved in this thing called missions and grace giving. And God wants to use His people to carry out His work. Now, God's going to fund His work. Don't ever think, well, you know, we need to get a few rich businessmen in our church so we can fund the work. Well, you know, if God wants those in the church, God will put them there and God will lay upon their heart. I'm finding more and more, and I've been doing this for a little while, and I talk to missionaries, and most missionaries will tell you it's not the big, elaborate churches that fund most of their needs. It's small works all around the world. Some with congregations of 30 and 50, some with 100, 150 people. Those works are just committed to doing things God's way. Now, I'm not saying that big churches do not give to missions. Don't mistake what I've just said. But if you will begin to talk to missionaries and you begin to talk with them in detail, they'll tell you that they have several, most of their faithful supporting churches or congregations, very similar to the congregation you're part of right here, Fellowship Baptist Church. People may pull up on this property and think, man, that church can't do anything for God. Well, they're fooling themselves, aren't they? They're fooling themselves. God will use anybody that's willing to do it God's way. You don't have to have a bunch of degrees. And even if you do, God can still use you. Amen? That's right. You don't have to have all kinds of money and huge bank accounts. But even if you do, God can still use you. God can use anybody that He chooses to use. God can use the big church. God can use the small church. God can use the city church. And God can use the country church. God will use anybody that'll do it His way. Now, God does business with those that mean business. See, God's not going to change the way He does things to meet people's criteria and preference. God says, no, I'm going to do it this way. You want to get in on my plan, you get in on my way. So here's what is happening here, and I'm going to give you a few truths from 2 Corinthians about how you and I individually should be praying. Now, I want to make something very clear here. First of all, it's already been stated tonight. Faith promise is between you and God. You get your card, right? You fill it out. You put it in the offering plate. Don't put your name on it. That's between you and God. Now, that's individually. Now, collectively, when that is all added up, well, in order to be good stewards of God's money, well, now we've got to start naming figures, you see. Right? You see what I'm saying? So you will hear a collective amount from time to time, because that's the amount that we use, that we feel God has led us to that amount as to be good stewards of, to disperse those funds in a way to help the ministries that God has laid upon the hearts of the people that make up the body of Fellowship Baptist Church. And we have people in place that we have entrusted to disperse those funds to missionary endeavors. And as we bring them in, then we take votes and we say, you know what? We want to help this family in this area plant a church or do this work for Jesus Christ. So don't think now, okay, somebody's going to get my card and they're going to read, okay, brother so-and-so and his wife have committed X amount of dollars and we're going to expect that and we're going to, you know, write you letters, or there's nobody going to come to collect this. Nobody going to knock on your door. This is between you and God. If anybody knocks on your door, it's going to be the door of your heart, and it's not going to be me. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. And He's going to tell you, hey, now this is what I expect of you, and or this is what I'm going to do for you, right? Because God keeps His word, and He expects you and I to keep our word too. Amen. Absolutely. And so don't think individual. Think collectively. Now, collectively, when all this comes in, then we calculate, and then we bring that to your attention, and you know, okay, this is what we have promised as a church through faith to give to the mission of worldwide evangelism around the world for the new fiscal year of 2017-2018. There's something very similar is happening here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's look at it and draw just a few truths that I believe would encourage you and help you. Paul was doing some work in the churches of Macedonia. And certainly the church of Corinth had some problems, okay? I mean, that's putting it lightly, really. The church of Corinth was a church that, well, it would not be a model church. I'm stunned when I ride through areas and I see a church named Corinth Baptist Church. And you may laugh at that, but I have actually seen churches named Corinth Baptist Church, and I don't understand. I mean, it's not like Grace Baptist or Calvary Baptist, amen. The church of Corinth had some serious issues. They were taking each other to law. There was immorality in the church. They had all kinds of problems in the church. However, I will tell you this, this group of people began to grow. And this group of people from the time of the first letter to the second letter began to get to a place to where they realized God has a program and we can get involved in it. We can become a part of this program that God has. And really, it's kind of what our lives are. You know, we get saved and we struggle with things and we have these hindrances in our lives, but as we begin to grow from the time of, well, like these folks, the first letter to the second, we begin to realize, hey, God can use even me. God can use me in His plan. And these folks begin to realize, and so Paul's writing them here, and he's telling them, hey, folks, God can use you. Now, you've messed up. You've messed up. And some of you came out of some really bad background. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It begins to talk about some things, you know, that some of them were in their past. But they got saved. They were justified. And he said, and God can use you to be a part of His reaching people around the world. And they got excited about it. And you ought to be excited about it. And I ought to be excited about it. We can reach people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ought to excite us. Yes, we ought to be excited that there's people willing to go to these places and we can have a part in not only them going, but them staying and them winning people, and the fruit from their labor can be added to our account. That ought to excite us. Listen, when you make an investment in Faith Promise Missions, you're making an eternal investment. An eternal investment in the souls of men and the kingdom of God. You're laying up treasures in heaven that only eternity will reveal. Remember that now. So here's what he said. He's basically said, I'm proud of you. You've made some good choices. And I want to encourage you by letting you know some of the choices that you've made has encouraged some people around you. Look at what he said, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. He said, you know, it's abundantly. I must write to you. You're making a difference when it comes to this thing of ministering to people. You're making a difference. And so he said in verse number 2, for I know the forwardness of your mind. Now I want you to underline that word there. This is an attitude that every church that is really genuinely concerned about reaching others is going to have. You see that word forwardness? Look at what he said. He said, and I know, for I know the forwardness of your mind. That word is a word that we would say today, willingness. They were willing. They didn't have to have their arm twisted. They didn't have to be coerced, pressured. You know, one of the things that as a pastor I refuse to do, and God's just birthed this in my heart, I'm not going to get up and preach on giving and hound people and pound people and pass the plates and then pass them again and then pass them again. And if we don't have enough, pass them again. Look, if you don't want to give, that's between you and God. Amen. Right? That's between you and God. And this is what Paul was saying. He said, listen, I am not writing you to tell you, give or I'm going to have to come back through there. He said, no, I like your willingness. That's what he's saying, the forwardness. You're willing in verse number 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind. And he said, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. He said, I tell people, I tell you what, those folks in Macedonia, they are willing to get involved in the program of reaching people. Well, we say it all the time here at Fellowship Baptist Church. May not speak for every single individual, but collectively as a whole, we have a congregation of people here who are forward. Their forwardness, they are willing. They want to get involved. Collectively as a people, it's obvious that people want to be involved in this thing of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want a great blessing on your life? Stay involved in that. Stay involved in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The forwardness, they were willing. So here's a good attitude, all right? When you think of grace giving, when you think of faith promise, when you think of missions, always think of forwardness, willingness, all right? You with me? Willingness. Don't feel like, well, I've got to be pumped and I've got to be primed and I've got to be pressured and I've got to be coerced. No. Listen, others may choose to do it that way, but we're not going to do it that way here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We have confidence that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to God's people and melt God's people's heart and use our guests, our missionary families, and use our keynote speakers to speak to people's heart from God's Word, and that we will be obedient enough to follow God's plan and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Well, that's what he said here. Number one, okay? Their attitude was one of willingness or forwardness. And he said, insomuch that I boast of you, in verse number two, to them of Macedonia. Now watch this. That Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So not only was their forwardness, which speaks of their willingness and their eagerness and their passion, but their zeal, their enthusiasm. Now let me speak to you just for a moment about that. When we have our missions conference, we certainly want everyone to be here. I would to God that every person that comes to Fellowship Baptist Church would be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Don't miss a night. Just mark it. By the grace of God, I'm going to be there every night. But as you come, don't just show up. Show up with the attitude of zeal. Why? It affects people. Watch what he said here. He said, you know, your willingness and your zeal has what? Look if you would again here in verse number two. Your zeal hath provoked very many. You never know. You never know what family is sitting beside you that is doubting or having second doubts or questions and saying, you know, I want to. I have a willingness, but my faith's not strong, or I'm just unsure. And your zeal, my zeal, our enthusiasm can not only be a help and a blessing to our own congregation, but it can be to these guests of ours when they say, hey, these folks are behind what we're doing. It means something to people. It affects people. Amen. It affects people. Anybody that's ever taught a Sunday school class or ever sung for the Lord or ever preached the Word, you know what I'm saying is so. When you're speaking, you're preaching, when you're singing, when you're serving God, and the people that you're ministering to has a zeal and enthusiasm about what you're doing, it validates some way in your heart, man, God is in this, right? So when these folks come and our guests come, don't just come and sit there and say, oh, yeah, faith promise, missions, just about, man, that's not zeal. That's not enthusiasm. So I do that just as a reminder to you. The attitude in which we approach this affects other people. Is that what Paul said in verse 2, brethren? Is that what he said? Look at it one more time. He said in verse number 2, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. You never know who's watching. You never know who's going to watch your attitude toward it, who's going to watch your attendance. How would you feel if I got up here as the pastor and I said, you know what? The Faith Promise Missions Revival is the most important meeting. And I say this, it's one of the most important, if not the most important meeting of the year at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I'm going to come 3 of the 5 nights. Would that zeal pump you up? Can I tell you that I'm a human being like you? And when you don't show up for meetings, it's not going to stop me from following God's lead on having meetings. But it affects us. It affects people. What you do affects other people. What I do affects other people. What we do affects people. And Paul was letting the church know this. Your zeal has provoked very many. You've helped people. You say, I'll just stay at home. I'm tired, preacher. Well, we get tired too. We say, well, you can't get tired. Well, yeah, I do. I'm sorry, I do. We all get tired. And you're going to be tired next week. How do you know? I just know. Okay? You're going to be tired. There's going to be things come up. You're going to go home and the cat and the dog is going to be fighting. Trust me, you're going to get home from work and there's going to be a big fight. There's going to be cat and dog squall. The washer's going to bump into the dryer and one of them's going to break. Things like that happen during missions revival, right? Does that happen around your house? I'm sure my house is not the only house that happens around. I mean, if it can't go wrong, the devil is going to fight in a special way. Why? Because it is true. Missions is the heartbeat of God. And more than ever, God wants us to be a part of what's going to go on all the time here, but in particular next week. You mark that down. You mark it down. And so be aware of that. Don't be ignorant to the devil's devices. Oh, listen. Be prepared. And remember, your zeal provokes many. Your presence can be the very thing that's going to help somebody to say, you know, I'm going to come back. Right? Man, the whole church is getting involved, and I'm going to be a part of that. I want to be in part. I love my church. I love my Lord. I love His plan, and I want to be a part of that. And that's what Paul's encouraging them. Let's read on. So what not only was it their forwardness, their willingness, their enthusiasm, their eagerness, their zeal, but notice what he said here in verse number 3 and 4 and 5. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. In other words, Paul said, I've went out and I've said these things. And he said, I've sent some people to you to let you know these things because I want you to know now. I've said these things and don't let my boasting of you be ashamed. Follow through. Follow through. Then he said this in verse 5, and I want you to underline a word here. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. That word bounty, I want you to take special note of. It speaks of generosity. It speaks of a generous heart. You're going to be bountiful in the way you approach this. Your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now, what's Paul saying? He said, I sent some brethren by so that they could tell you what's going on here and kind of what I'm doing with you in prepping us for the meeting to come, right? We're talking about this and we're saying, hey, listen, there's a meeting coming up and we're going to have guests and we don't want to put on airs and we don't want to be fake, but we do want to understand that we're Christians and these people are servants and we want to encourage them and they're here to encourage us. And so we don't want to just turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to what they're doing. These people are in ministry and we want to be bountiful. In other words, we want to be generous. Generous. When they set up their tables in the back, when there's fellowship time. Notice there's two words in that verse. Notice it now. Bounty. You see that? Look at that word right there at the close of the verse. Covetousness. You see that? He said, don't act like, well, you know, when he said that, not as of covetousness. Like, hi, my name is Dale Freeman. How are you? What else did the preacher tell me to say? We're praying for you. That's covetous. That's like it had to be squeezed out of you. Amen? That's not what we want. Paul said, I sent these people so that this would not be. Be yourself. Be yourself. Hey, these people are human beings. They're no better than you. You're no better than them. We're brethren. Talk with them. They have needs like you have needs. They have power bills and they have fuel bills and they have physical needs. They're going through what we're going through, right? So when you talk with missionaries, don't act like they're, I don't know, aliens or something. Hey, they're God's servants. Talk with them and love them and ask them, hey, how can we pray with you? Right? You go up to a church in the family. Hey, Brother Corey, how you and Lauren doing? Hey, is there anything I can pray with you about? Well, you know what? Next week, do that with these families. How can we pray with you? bounty. Be generous. Yes, be generous in your giving, but be generous in the way you approach these families. Interact with them. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. You know, do you spank your children? No, don't ask them that. Don't ask them that. Don't ask them that. Don't ask them that. You know, do ask them that. Okay. Sometimes people, they act like missionaries. I don't know what to say, preacher. I freeze up. You don't know what to say. They're human beings. Right? Come on, folks. We act like, I don't know what to say. You know, how long have you been on deputation? What's it like over in Cyprus? I see where you'd been there for 25 years. Tell me, what's it like over there? Are the people, are they a lot like here in the States? Are they open to the gospel? There's all, you know, what's the delicacy foods over there? Are they like our pastor and eat only meat and potatoes? Or that's right, ain't Brother John? Right? With a little gravy on it, Brother Dan? Amen. And just talk to them about these things. That's what they want. They just want you they want us to interact with them. All right, so here's what he's saying. You got it? Now let's get into this and I'll close. So he's setting them up. And he's saying, hey, listen. When it comes to this thing of missions and grace giving and ministering to people, they're people. They're like you are. They have needs and hurts and ambitions and prayer requests. They just interact with them. Befriend them. It's good that I noticed some of our young people last year did befriend some of our missionaries and went out with them even after the service and spent some time with them and have stayed in contact with them even to this day. And I tell you, that's good, young folks. I'm very proud of you. And God's going to bless you for that. You're going to receive a blessing for that. And I know it's a blessing to those families. It truly is. Now let's talk about this. Preacher, I want to be bountiful. I want to be forward. I want to be willing. I want to be zealous while the missionary guests are here. And I want to befriend them and I want to do everything I can to encourage them and to let them know I'm interested in your ministry. I'm so glad that you're going to tell these dear folks in South Africa and Argentina and China and Cyprus. We're thankful that you're going to tell these people that a pocket of those people may would never know if you would choose not to go. And we're thankful for that. But now, here's the last part. Look at what verse number 6 says. But, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You can get as much out of this as you want to put into it. That's what Paul's saying. Okay? So really it's up to you and God. And now I commend you to the Word of God and the grace that's able to build you up. You get along with God and you say, God, what do you want me to do? God, you show me. You show me. I want to do what you show me. Not what I feel or some emotion. God, I want you to make it real to me. And I would recommend that the husband, the wife, just pray about it individually, then come together and pray about it and see what God has laid on your heart. Bring that together. And then whatever God lays on your heart to do, you do what God lays on your heart to do. Young people, this involves you. You say, I don't even work, preacher. Well, we're not talking about a tithe. We're not talking about a tithe, okay? If you don't work, you probably don't have any money. A tenth of zero is zero. You didn't know I was that smart, did you? Well, I am. And so we're not talking about a tithe. Just because you give zero tithe because you make zero money doesn't mean God doesn't want you to give the faith promise right now. Now, if you're a God robber and you make and you don't tithe, you're wasting your time. And I won't get into that. But for our young people that are here and you do not work, you pray and say, God, what would you have me to give? Not would you have me to give? That's not the question. Ask the right question and you'll get the right answer. God, what would you have me to give the faith promise? And God may tell you a quarter. He may tell you a dime. I don't know what God will tell you, but whatever God tells you, you're going to go on a journey of faith that's going to be an exciting journey. And you're going to see God work maybe like you've never seen Him work before, because you're going to be looking for Him to work. And so remember this, if you give sparingly now, you're going to reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Is that what the Word says? Number two, look at verse number 7. Every man. See, that's why I included the children. Every man. I don't have a lot, preacher. Every man. Well, we're seeing it tight. Every man. Seeing it tight has nothing to do with exercising your faith. Every man. Well, I've never done this before. Every man. I'm not sure. Every man. Right? This is God's way. This is God's way. No person left behind. Every person should fill out a faith promise card. Every person. I'm on Social Security. Every man. No one. There's not a person who attends Fellowship Baptist Church who should have a blank faith promise card at the end of 2 weeks. If we're going to obey verse number 7, every man. Now, what do I give, preacher? Well, this is what the Bible says. According as he purposeth in his heart. In other words, you've prayed and God says, I want you to give this. You ought to stick to that purpose and don't let anything change it. The only person that should change what I give is God. And God has done that, by the way. And I don't know if God changed or if I just didn't get the message clear the first time. I hadn't figured that out yet. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? Okay. So every man as he purposeth in his heart. Now watch this. So let him give. So let him give. Don't you let anything deter you now. I've said it and I'm going to say it again. Do not use what God gives to go through you to be to you. If God gives it to give through you, don't let it be to you. Look at what he said. As you purpose in your heart, so let him give. Don't you keep now. Don't you keep God's faith promise money. Don't do that. And God help me not to do that, right? Right, church? Amen. Then look what he said. So let him give, not grudgingly. Right? That's sad. That's sad giving. You know what sad giving is? Just look around the church on Sunday morning. I sit up here and look around. I see sad giving sometimes. Sad giving. That's right. Write that down. Grudgingly. Sad giving. But watch this now. Look what else it says. Or of necessity. That's mad giving. Right? So don't give sadly. Don't give madly. What'd he say? Give gladly. Now what he said? Look at it. Not grudgingly, sadly, nor of necessity, madly. Give gladly. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. Give gladly. I am so glad I can be a part in helping people get the gospel around the world. Aren't you? I believe you are. What? How could somebody that's saved? I don't understand it. And possibly if you're here that way tonight, and I'm not saying there anyone is, but if you are, would you please come and talk to me? How could anyone that's saved not want to give to Faith Promise Missions? I don't understand it. How could anyone not want to give to help get the gospel? To help get people saved around the world? How could anyone not want to be a part of God's program like that? I want to close with, that's God's plan. Now let me just read this and I'll be through. God's promise. You give the Faith Promise Missions. And Brother David's already said it. He said it aptly tonight, okay? May not mean God's going to put a pocket full of cash on you, but it don't mean he won't either. Right? Sometimes God does bless us monetarily when we give. Not always now, but sometimes He does. But I will tell you this, God's going to bless you. Look what He said. I want you to notice what we call the superlatives here. All right, look at verse number 8. And God, now here's to that person. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. You talking about a verse with superlatives. Amen. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, church, when you get involved in this, when you get in God involved in God's program, you're going to see God work in ways you've never seen Him work before. Amen. You're going to see a superabundance way of God just opening up things. And we heard it in testimony the last couple of weeks. We've experienced it in our lives. So don't you miss out on it now. Don't let your weak faith cause you to miss out on God's strong hand. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, we could read on, but we won't. This is God's plan here. What we're doing is God. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not trying to coerce you into anything. I'm simply preaching to you what the Word of God says because I want you to be a part of it. What parent would not want their child to be a part of the blessing? What pastor would not want their flock to be a part of God's blessing? And I want God's greatest blessing upon your life. I want you to experience not just material blessing and not just tangible blessing, but I want you to experience spiritual blessing and relationship blessing, blessings that come from trusting God and seeing God do. You know, you see a big old man like Brother Allen, 6'6" or 7", stand up and just break down almost in tears because he recalled how God miraculously worked in his life and did seemingly the impossible. God does that for men who will trust Him. God will do it for you too. Actually, I believe God's done it for most of the folks sitting in this building. But can I tell you, God will do it again. God will do it again. You know, it amazes me at my own self. I'm amazed at my own self. Now, don't take that wrong until you hear what I've got to say, because it's a negative thing. I'm amazed at how God can bless me and God can reward my faith, and yet I'm constantly needing God to remind me to exercise my faith. God has been so good to me. I've never stepped out on faith where God hasn't met every need and then some. And yet there are times that if I would follow my flesh, that I would not take a step by faith, and God has to nudge me and say, "Hey, son. Hey, who's doing this? Me or you?" Right? You ever been there? We have to constantly be reminded. This is not about you. You're not the one trying to, you're not going to fix this. Stay out of my work. Let me do this. I said I'm going to finance it. And so quit going out and trying to make this happen. You let me do this. Right? You just do this, give. And then what? It shall be given unto you. Right? Luke 6:38. Well, let's all stand. I'm looking forward to a great week in missions revival. Great week. And I just know that God has great things in store. Maybe the week that God chooses to save folks right here, maybe some children, maybe God will call somebody out of our congregation. Maybe somebody that's religious and been playing church, been going through the motions, not really saved. You know who you are. Folks who you just have to stop pulling teeth to come to church. You know? Maybe this will be the week. If you honor God, God will say, "I'm going to give you one more opportunity," and God will break through and you'll get saved in the grace of God. You say, "Preacher, are you praying for that?" I pray for it every week. I pray for that every week. This may be the week that God reaches down in the congregation of Fellowship Baptist Church and touches somebody and says, "I want you to go there for me. Wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We really don't know what God has in store for us, but I do know this. I don't want to miss any of it. I want to be here when it happens. When God calls one of your sons to the gospel ministry, I want to be here when it happens. Amen? When God saves that religious person that's just going through the motion and thinks they're on the way to heaven, and God shows them, no, you're not on your way to heaven, and they get saved, I want to be here when that happens. Amen? When God breaks through in a heart that says, I can't, and God sets you free and you says, I will. I'm going to be a part of faith promise giving. I'm going to be a part of God's global program, world evangelism. I want to be there when that happens. I want to be here. Let's bow our heads.